The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. We're just a couple of days away from the start of bowl season. I'm currently watching some Georgia high school state championship action going on in downtown Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So a little bit of football to get us through this dead week. It's December 13th, 14th when you're listening to this. Jake Fromm, what's up, my man?
Man, what is up? Back in the DC area.
Yeah.
Back to work, man. The real life has started back again. So we got a nice little four-game stretch to end up the season. It's bowl season in college football. Those games are going to start popping on the TV. And, of course, you're going to watch them. What else are you going to watch? It's either that or a Christmas movie. So,
yes,
excited to chop it up tonight. And let's get after it.
Dude, you perfectly laid out my next 4 days. Bowl games, NFL, because we have NFL Saturday action, yep, and Thursday night football, of course, and Christmas movies. So thank you, Jake Fromm, for letting everybody know. If you're not watching a Christmas movie, you're probably watching football. And if you're watching football, I got something to perfectly complement your football watching. That, of course, is the Prize Picks app that should be on your phone by now. If you don't have it, download it. Go to the App Store, download Prize Picks, the biggest and best daily fantasy platform in the country. And if you use the promo code PUNT when you sign up, you get a 100% deposit match up to $100. That means download Prize Picks, enter the promo code PUNT, deposit $100. Prize Picks will give you $100 because you listen to Punt and Pass. What is Prize Picks? Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy. As I just said, all you have to do is pick 2 to 6 players and predict that they will go more or less than their Prize Picks stat projection. One of my close friends, an avid Punt and Pass listener, his name's Tony. For whatever reason, he had never downloaded Prize Picks. Last week, he downloaded Prize Picks. He has texted me every single day since. Hey, here's my entry for tonight. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I like this in college basketball. And I'm like, Tony, I love it. Thank you. Keep them coming. Tony is a Tennessee fan. Tony is a college basketball sharp. He played college basketball himself. So he's taken advantage of that college basketball board over on Prize Picks. And you know he used the promo code PUNT when he downloaded the app. Gave him free money. Prize Picks is the best. Like Jake Fromm said, Christmas movie here, bowl game there, Prize Picks all the time. Head on over to Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com. They are at Prize Picks on social media. All right, let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room. It was reported earlier this week, Jake, that the number one quarterback recruit in the nation, 5-star out of Buford High School, Dylan Raiola, who had been committed to the University of Georgia since, I believe, May of this year, will be taking an official visit to Nebraska this weekend. Now, why is that significant? Well, He was supposed to be an early enrollee at Georgia, and he was supposed to be a participant in Georgia's bowl practices starting this Saturday. So instead of being in Athens with his future and now current teammates, he will be in Lincoln, Nebraska, taking one final official visit. All signs point to him essentially making the flip. His dad was an All-American at Nebraska. His uncle is the offensive line coach at Nebraska. This has kind of polarized the Georgia fan base, as I can see it on social media. Some are saying, best of luck, young man. Others are saying, how could you do this? Jake, we're going to unfold a big conversation around this, but surprised, not surprised, new era of college football, come to expect it. You're the QB here, man. Teach me.
Yeah, man, there's just so many different angles that you can look at this from. You know, let's take it from his perspective. Maybe he wants to get on the field early, maybe getting some hints that Carson is coming back and he wants the opportunity to play right away. So there's, you know, thing number one, right? You can transfer in this new age of college football, go get some experience at Nebraska, blow it up, transfer somewhere else. You know, I don't know. Just, hey, and then also too with this NIL stuff, I mean, he could you know, really help out himself, set up, you know, his future, set up, you know, help his family out. So there's that angle to look at it. The other angle to look at it is from the Georgia coaching perspective. As many have been recruiting this kid hard, you know, let's just say, you know, since May. I mean, dude, that's, you know, 8-9 months that you've been recruiting this dude.
There's a lot of other shit going on too.
That's a long time. You know, it's a lot of phone calls. That's a lot of relationship building. Just to just slip out from under you there at the last second. So that's tough. But man, this new era and new age of college football, it's crazy. You know, for me in the future, I guess maybe thinking about coaching, just coaching a college football right now, it's just a tough place to be, from my perspective. Just, I mean, there's just too much going on.
Never ends. There's no finish line. There's no finish line.
I'm going to use this word. Tell me if this is appropriate, but I just feel like there's a lot of coddling of
that's appropriate
of kids. And I just, I just don't want to partake in that. And I think it's half gross, half just not real. And hey man, I'm going to be straight up with you. I think you're a good player. Come here if you want to get better. That's my pitch. And I'm going to roll with that.
You bring up a great point, and coddling is the perfect word. I would assume, and I have no idea, but I would assume that when these rumors started coming out and the Georgia coaches get wind of it, and clearly there's conversations to be had, I would assume that Coach Kirby Smart, who has set the precedent in the new NIL era, that they're not just going to throw outrageous money at kids, they're not going to chase people with NIL whatever. I would have to think that he told Dylan Raiola and Dylan Raiola's family, again, this is me guessing, hey, Dylan, if you want to come to Georgia and compete for SEC and national championships and play on the biggest stage against the best competition in the country and fight for national championships and be on primetime TV and develop into a first-round NFL quarterback, come to Georgia. We got it all. We got great education. We got this. We got that. We got NIL. We got that. If you want to go to Nebraska for whatever reason that you can't get from us here at Georgia, then best of luck. I would have to think that's how that conversation went, because when you look at the track record, Jake, just over the last 2 years at Georgia, like, what more could you want? Now, look, if he's getting $2 million, I mean, whatever it is that he's getting at Nebraska, and that's enough for him to pass up the opportunity to play at Georgia, then best of luck. Like, I don't hold any grudges against the kid. I will say playing at four different high schools in 4 years is that's something. If he does officially flip to Nebraska, that will be his third college commitment in less than a year, Ohio State, then Georgia, then Nebraska. That might be something. But I do need to give credit to Georgia. And of course, I'm biased. I'm an alumni. I played football there. In this new day and age, Georgia has set the precedent. They have created the culture to say, if you want to be here, put your hand in the pile. If you don't, then best of luck. I feel like that's probably how those discussions have gone.
Yeah. I have to give it to Kirby because from what I know, from what I understand, like he hasn't thrown that outrageous dollar value out at a certain recruit or kid. You know, he does it in a very orderly way. And I understand too, from a recruitment, you know, perspective, like every parent's going to think that their child is special and they're going to want to ask, like, I understand that. But Kirby's getting that, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out, and he's still like standing firm on his philosophy and the way they do things.
Yeah.
And it's just proven to have success and hopefully with these times that are changing, he will continue to have success.
I'm going to go back to the word coddling, which you said. Now, keep in mind, when I was at Georgia, Mike Bobo, who recruited me, he was the offensive coordinator. Stacy Searles, who's the offensive line coach there now, he was the offensive line coach. Brian McClendon, who was the wide receivers coach and high up in recruiting, he was a GA when I was there. You know, those guys, this is 2007 to 2011, man. Coach Bobo used to get on my ass like you would. I was a punter for a couple of years, a backup punter. He used to ride my ass for no other reason than I was just in his way, in his line of sight. And you know what? I said this about Coach Rick last week and how thankful I was and I am for him being my coach. Now being grown, having that experience of just getting your ass chewed out for no reason, getting put in your place just for existing, I'm so thankful for that. Because it prepares you so much more for life afterwards. I can't even imagine how Kirby rode you, Jake, and just what was going down in those team meetings when you guys were fighting for national championships and you threw a pick or made a turnover that you didn't want to. Like, that is what builds you far past the game of football. And as I always tell the recruits, hey, man, enjoy the recruiting process, because as soon as you sign that dotted line, they're not going to talk to your ass until you show up on campus. The flip switches and you become one of 85 or 125. And again, whenever I see Coach Bobo now, I just laugh. I'm like, dude, it's just so funny. And I'm so thankful for him. And yeah, Searles.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with that. Recruiting stops only 80%, because now with this transfer portal.
Oh God, I didn't even think about that. Totally right.
You have to keep recruiting the entire time the player is there.
I mean, you can't be as fierce just in the day-to-day, because kids will get upset and just leave.
Oh man, it's like coaching style changes just a little bit. I mean, Kirby's still going to be Kirby, but I just see it from an outside perspective. Things just aren't the way they used to be because of this.
You're totally right, dude. You're totally right. And, you know, I think everybody, 95% Dylan Rayola was going to flip. Best of luck to him. You know, his uncle, again, is the offensive line coach at Nebraska. His uncle got a 60% pay increase last Thursday. I don't even think Nebraska's bowl eligible. Are they even going to a bowl? I have no idea. That's besides the point. It seems like this was a long play by Nebraska. If they get Dylan Rayola, I hope he does great. I would probably highly, highly, let me just put it this way. There's no way Georgia's going to play Dylan Rayola in a college football playoff game. All right, let's just get that out of the way. All right, for the next 4 years, Nebraska ain't going to the college football playoff. I think that's safe to say. So Ryan Puglisi's the four-star quarterback out of the Northeast. He's been long committed, solid commit to Georgia, even while they were chasing Dylan Rayola for months and months. He'll be on campus this upcoming weekend. So it seems like, you know, his commitment, his loyalty is certainly paying off. I don't know if you have anything else to add to the Rayola rumors, if you want to kind of calm the fans down, but it seems like the fans are kind of saying, you know what, if you don't want to be here, then best of luck.
Yeah. There's just something to be said about people who want to be here.
Like, no question.
And show up. I see it in my day-to-day. Absolutely. Guys in the building, you know, I know that you've seen it, you know, in your career, like guys who want to be there, man, and show up every single day. Like, those are the dudes you want in your locker room.
So, yeah, you just want to be around them.
Just want to be around them.
Infectious personalities. They care. Absolutely. They're passionate. Yeah.
I think that's relatable to anybody in any team, group environment, employee, you know, yeah, situation. So that's what I got for you.
You are totally spot on with that. All right, that leads us perfectly into our next topic, which is now there's rumors circulating because Carson Beck, Georgia's quarterback for 2023, who by all accounts had a fantastic season, he has played himself into potentially being a first-round NFL draft pick. It's being rumored now that he is demanding or asking for $4 million in NIL compensation in order to come back and play at UGA in 2024. Let me just say this to everybody, and please listen up. Listen, are you listening? I worked in the NIL industry. I still do adjacently for the last 3 years. If you believe that $4 million offers exist, I have a bridge to sell you. That money is not being exchanged in the NIL world. I promise you. I promise you, okay? If Carson Beck wanted $4 million next year, guess what he would do? Declare for the NFL draft. Now, will he be handsomely compensated from an NIL perspective if he does come back? Yes, of course. But I saw on social media today this $4 million number, and I don't even know where it comes from. It's fugazi, it's fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy. It's not true, people. So get it out of your heads. I think Carson's coming back. What's he going to make? Probably more than what I make this year, but that's great for him. And hell yeah, he does deserve it.
It doesn't exist. It's fairy dust.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very big and outrageous number. I mean, honestly,
$4 million.
It's crazy. It's more than the starting quarterback for the Washington Commanders makes.
Of course it is. Wake up, people.
Four times as much. So,
Think about this. And Brock Purdy. Think about this. Think about the biggest, baddest ass donor at any school. At any school. If you go to him and say, cut me a check so we can retain our quarterback, I would think he or she might be like, okay, here's $100,000. You're long way away from $4 million.
But see, like when they gave it to the school, this is from what I understand. Tell me if I'm wrong. But when they gave it to the school, they could write it off on their taxes.
I do believe there are some tax deductible advantages of donating to an athletic association or specifically to a university. That's correct. If you donate to a collective, there are zero tax benefits. That is a stone cold fact. So much so that the IRS had to put out a notice on that earlier this year. So that is literally like taking your money and handing it to somebody and saying, there you go, do with it what you will. So, rich people don't do that. That's why they're rich. Like, I don't know how many times I can tell people this. Rich people don't just give away their money. That's why they're rich. Thank you.
Yep. I mean, you said it best. I don't know like what to add to that because you're exactly right. Like they got there a certain way. They got what they earned. And like, it's all about a return on investment. And if that investment doesn't bring in the dough, then they're probably not going to invest it.
You're totally right. You know, and again, I'm sure he's going to get a great package. He deserves a great package, but $4 million, people wake up. I mean, goodness gracious. It drives me crazy. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve that. I'm just saying it doesn't exist. It does not exist. What did Caleb Williams make this year from legitimate endorsements? Probably into the millions. Yeah, Shedeur Sanders, of course. Livy Dunn, the gymnast at LSU. Dude, she rakes it in. But she's on my TV every 3 minutes on ESPN with those damn Viore commercials, right? It ain't people just handing her dollars.
Yeah.
She's talented in more ways than one, clearly. And she gets on TV. That's how you get paid. So as you can tell, I'm pretty passionate about that, Jake. But I would have to think Carson's coming back or else he probably would have made an announcement by now, right?
I mean, maybe he's kind of fiddling around with the numbers, trying to leverage something. Maybe he's trying to gather some information.
As he should.
you know, I mean, I think it's 1A, 1B with Caleb and Drake. And then after
that.
You think
Drake's that much better than Carson? Like, not. I know you're not saying Drake is that much better. That is the consensus in the public, in all the draft analysts. Is Drake a little bit more mobile? Does he have a little bit more tape? What's the breakdown there?
If there's anything that I've learned about the NFL draft process, it is 90% projectability. Like what they think your ceiling is. It's not about the floor.
Yeah.
It's about the ceiling.
Yeah.
And right now, if Drake May is getting comped to Justin Herbert, then that's all he needs, right?
$250 million contract. Okay.
Yeah. So they're gonna ride with that. And I mean, Justin's super talented and, you know, doing crazy stuff on Sunday. But it's just kind of who you get labeled as a comp and then what they can think about your projectability going forward. So, I mean, I think Carson can do great in this league. I think he's got a lot of qualities that transcend into this league. But you got 1A, 1B there with, you know, those two picks. And then after that, you got Bo, you got Michael Penix. And then who's that fifth? I mean, if Carson thinks he can somehow jump one of those two guys, I mean, then you're looking in the late first, you know, second round. So that's not a terrible place to be. I would have taken it.
I would certainly put him above Michael Penix just based on left-handed quarterbacks in the NFL. There's only one right now that, of course, would be Tua Tagovailoa. Bo's going to have a great opportunity just because he's so old and mature. He's got tons of tape, tons of experience. You mentioned the Drake May, Justin Herbert comparison. When I thought about this today, actually, it's funny you brought that up. When I watch Carson, I kind of see a little bit of Trevor Lawrence. I'm not just body style, kind of the way he throws. Trevor, obviously, number one draft pick. I mean, Carson's not going to be number one draft pick, but that was kind of the comparison that I had in my mind about Carson Beck to a current NFL quarterback. Does anybody else kind of stick out to you?
I'm trying to think.
Tommy DeVito, Tommy Cutlets. Did you ever cross paths with that guy? That's the craziest story ever.
Me and Tommy were in the same high school class coming out.
There you go.
We did the Elite 11 stuff together. So how about that, man? It's a small world.
That shit's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right, moving on. I think Carson Beck's coming back. I think he's taking his time, which he should, but it seems like Georgia's going to have a lot of people playing in the Orange Bowl, which could be interesting. We'll keep tabs on that for sure. This news came out earlier today. It's 7:30 currently on Wednesday night. The NCAA lost yet another court battle. This court battle was in the state of Ohio. Why is it significant? Because for the next 2 weeks until December 27th, Jake, get ready for this. Any player in college can transfer and have immediate eligibility. That means if you've transferred twice, if you've used a waiver, if you've transferred three times for whatever reason, you can transfer until December 27th and have immediate eligibility to play next season. And here's the kicker. If this court ruling does get reversed in the coming months, the penalties are not retroactive. So jump in now, make your decision. You're good to go in 2024. College football is totally off its rocker. The transfer portal is already insane. You were talking about it earlier. These coaches, they always have to consistently recruit. For the next 2 weeks, anybody can transfer and play immediately next season. What do you make of this?
I mean, just chaos. Chaos. I mean, I see Kirby, I see Bobo just on the phone. You know, they're eating dinner with their family.
Oh.
And phone's going off. Hey, honey, I gotta go take this. I mean, that's just where we're at. So I don't know. If any time that Jimbo's making this kind of money, Kirby's making this kind of money, Saban's making this kind of money. Well, they win games, they're great at game planning, they're great coaches, and you know, they're great babysitters as well. So but then also too, on the flip side, I feel like I'm leaning hard on the side of the coaches. But at the same time, too, I mean, I really want to advocate for the kids and stuff because
of course.
I always go back to the example of when Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame. Now, help me here. Were they in the college football playoff and he left, or were they in just in a New Year's Six bowl? Dude, I think they were
in the college football playoff.
I think they were in the playoff, and he just up and leaves and takes the job at LSU.
Weren't they in the playoff?
I think they were in the playoffs. What year was this?
Yes. Hold on. Yes. Brian Kelly. Keep going.
I'll keep going. You look it up. But if the coaches are allowed to do this and make millions and millions of dollars on a whim, leave the program that they built up on a whim, go get another job. I think the players should be able to have a similar opportunity to go and play where they think is best for them. And that's what I got for you. To me, it doesn't seem fair for it not to be the case.
Brian Kelly announced he was leaving to go to LSU after Notre Dame had improved to 11-1 with a 45-14 win over Stanford, and their college football playoff hopes were still alive heading into conference championship weekend. So they were technically still alive. He's like, peace, guys, I'm out. Of course, 10 years, $95 million will make you do that.
That's nuts.
Look, when you talk about the coaches, I'll be the first to say, all the money in the world probably can't make up for just the insane amounts of time, work, and effort that they have to put into it. You just said it, like being with your family. You don't have off time. You don't have off time. That's one thing. The second thing is this. I will advocate for the student athletes every single day. Obviously, I'm going to sound like an old guy here, but we've kind of been alluding to this throughout this podcast. What's happening now is not real. It's not real. And why do I say that? Because let's just compare college football to the NFL. Okay. What's happening in college football right now is explicitly illegal in the NFL. First off, there's no transparency in NIL. Zero transparency in NIL, meaning the $4 million rumor, Carson Beck. Okay, that's not true, right? Go online, type in your favorite NFL player on Google, and then put contract next to it, and you can see what your favorite NFL player makes, right? It's transparent. There are rules around the compensation in the NFL. That bothers me. The no transparency in the NIL is absolutely crazy, and it's a disservice to the kids because they think they're worth far more than they are. They're making these crazy-ass demands, and it's flipped it all on its head. Next up, the free-for-all and the tampering that's going on is sickening. What do I mean by tampering? Colleges, recruiting coordinators, reaching out to kids and their parents and their advisors while they're on scholarship, while they're getting NIL money, while they're at other schools, okay? In the NFL, that's like the ultimate sin. If you're under contract with a team and another team or an advisor of that team reaches out to you and talks about how they want to go after you, even when free agency is about to open up, that is one of the biggest penalties you can get. Coaches get fired and suspended. Coaches personally get fined. Teams lose draft picks. Teams lose OTA practices. It is a huge penalty if you do that. In college right now, it's like, hey, whatever, go for it. That's not real life. That can't happen in any other business either.
I see the comparison you're trying to make here. But it's not quite apples to apples because as soon as a player goes in the portal, that school can immediately revoke their scholarship.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, I didn't know that. So if you enter the portal, the school can go goodbye?
Yeah, they go see you. So if you're a middle of the run bubble guy, like, and I go to the portal just to see what's up. Hey, maybe I want an opportunity to play somewhere. Well, dude, you run the risk of getting kicked out of there. Especially now, Now, what if you're a fourth year guy somewhere and you get a new coaching staff, right?
Yeah, well, let me just go to the port.
Like, all right, but dude, like if they don't like it, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, that's you can't take the heat, get out the kitchen. You know, don't play with fire. You might get burned. Like that, that's real life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've known guys literally who have taken meetings with other firms trying not to tell the current employer that they're with. Current employer finds out and they fire their ass immediately. I have a very close friend who is in the NFL, who is under contract, not a player. A team wanted to hire he or she. Guess what his current employer did? They blocked it. They said, absolutely not. You're under contract. We have you under contract. So, like anybody who's listening to this working in the real world, you sign a contract with your employer. Like, you can't just do that type of stuff if you're in an employment contract. But the free-for-all in recruiting, the zero rules around tampering, no transparency around NIL, and now this new transfer thing where you can just go ahead and do whatever the hell you want. It's flipped college football on its head. I think where we're heading is probably towards some kind of collective bargaining where unions will be brought into it. I have no idea how that's even feasible or possible. Jake, you're a part of a union right now in the NFL. I was a part of the NFLPA union also. There's 1,593 NFL players. There's 80,000 Power 5 football players. Those 1,593 NFL players, a lot of them have played for a long time. They've got families or just in different stages of life. There's 80,000 18 to 22-year-olds. I don't know where we go from here, Jake. I don't know where we go. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not real life. That's all.
Man, I'm trying to wrap my head around like what a college football union would look like.
Could you even imagine?
Could you imagine voting for, you know, your union rep?
And dude, this is like, so I get into it with sports lawyers who are highly involved in NIL. And of course, lawyers love unions. Why? Because unions have to hire lawyers. And then you get into legal battles. And who makes all the money in that? It ain't hard. It's the lawyers, obviously. Yeah. So they're like, we need unions. We need unions. I'm like, okay. Have you ever been a part of a union? No, I haven't. All right. Well, I have. All right. The NFL Players Association. It's just tough, man. Like, you have 1,593 or whatever the number is, differing views, socioeconomic backgrounds, different stages of life. You have to vote on your player reps. Then you go to player unions and you're working out ideas. Could you imagine sitting in one of those meetings trying to represent 80,000 18 to 23-year-olds? Oh, yeah, who, by the way, are only there for a finite amount of time. In the NFL, you could play for 25 years if you're capable. Yeah. In college, you're out. 5 years, you're gone. So I just don't know how that's possible. If you're a Teamster or if you're a union rep, let us know. Hit me up on social media. I'm glad you brought that up, though, Jake. You've been in these meetings. You know what it entails. You try to think about that at the college level.
I'm about to say, I know what our PA meeting during training camp and our mid-year PA meeting, you know, what gets said and what goes down in that one.
Of course.
I mean, just getting... I mean, a bunch of young men on the same page is tough.
And here's what also say, which a lot of student athletes aren't aware of. Guess what you have to do if you want to be in a union? You have to pay to be in the union. You know, like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We'll get this for free? Yeah. Even if you really don't benefit a whole lot from being in the union, you still got to pay your dues, man.
Unbelievable. So just, you know, again, perception versus reality. What's going on in college football right now is not real life. How we get to real life, I don't know. It's going to take a long-ass time. I'm sure we will get there. It will be handled by people much smarter than me, but good for you. I will break it all down alongside Jake Fromm right here on the Punt and Pass podcast. All right, quickly before we get you out of here, I'm looking at Saturday's bowl slate. That's when bowl season starts. We don't have to break down any of these games. I just want to kind of go over what these matchups will be. The Myrtle Beach Bowl kicks things off at 11. Georgia Southern, go Eagles, against Ohio. Here in Atlanta, the Cricket Celebration Bowl, Howard, Florida A&M. The R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. Jacksonville State versus Louisiana. That could be a good one to check out. I like this game, 3:30 p.m., ABC, the Avocados from Mexico Pure Bowl in Orlando, Miami of Ohio against App State. 5:45 p.m., the New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico State versus Fresno State. 7:30, ABC, the L.A. Bowl. Jeez, sorry, excuse me. Dude. UCLA, Boise State. And then 9:15, ESPN. The Independence Bowl in Shreveport, which I have played in.
Shreveport.
Cal against Texas Tech. So get ready. We got college football coming back this Saturday. I almost just lost the lung there. I don't know what happened, but if you're still hanging out with us, I am okay. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at From Jake. This episode has been presented to us by Prize Picks, which is the best. Please download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. Get in on that bowl action, college basketball, NHL, NBA. They've got it all. Pick 2 to 6 players. You can do cross-board entries. Predict that they will go more or less in their Prize Picks projection. And you can win up to 25x your money. They are at Prize Picks on Twitter and Instagram. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man, just look at the bowl schedule. Christmas movies. Yeah, dude,
you've got it down pat.
Just circling back, you know. So I'm about to head back downstairs, pop the TV on, finish my Four Christmases movie.
That's a great one.
And call tonight.
What'd you eat for dinner?
Dude, it was I had 3 chicken breasts. I had rice.
Is that from the facility?
And I had some roasted quail, or not quail, but kale. I wish it was quail, but it was not.
Roasted kale. Did you bring that back from the facility?
I did.
Those are the days, man. Those are the days. Yes, they are. I love it.
Dude, I did some math on it, man. And if I eat Monday lunch, Tuesday lunch, Wednesday night, and Thursday night dinner, you know, food from the facility, I mean, we're talking saving $2,000 over the course of the year.
Just no question.
4 meals a week.
Now just have 3 kids and see what that does.
And food is by far our just biggest variable expense. And it's nuts to go through the old credit card list. You're like, oh man, we spent food.
Grocery, food, gas. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
There you go. There you
don't
go.
Don't lesson learned here. Don't be a grown up.
Yeah.
Stay a kid forever.
100% agree with that, my friend. Awesome. He's Jake Fromm. I'm Drew Butler. Everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We out.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit jimellis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.